A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, this is Stephen Amell.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Cammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And listen to this, or my fictional alter ego will hunt you down. Enjoy.
That's right, Arrow Squad. We are back for Arrow Squad 173, Season 8, Episode 5, Prognost. I don't quite have the Russian accent, Cammy. Can you say that?
Prognost. I don't have the Russian accent either. And I was realizing saying it out loud without the Russian accent just sounds wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue as nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I am the Flash and we are here with, what do we got? Do we got a little bit of news here? I guess that there's a lot of crisis stuff coming out now, isn't there? Again.
There is. And I was hesitant to even put this in our news items because we all know the Flash is not in favor of spoilers for the Crisis or anything else. And there have been quite a few spoilers for the Crisis. If you're at all interested in that, the official preview clip, I guess I'll say, the first one is out, and the episode summaries for three of the episodes are out. I haven't posted those on our Facebook page because I don't want to inundate you with Crisis spoilers, which aren't necessarily Arrow heavy anyways.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, they're out there.
Awesome. And then we also want to just remind everybody, we have plans to do a special Farewell to Arrow, Farewell to the Arrow Squad special episode. We had called out a while ago that we want you guys to send in specific feedback as to what Arrow and Arrow Squad has meant to you over these last 8 seasons. This is your chance to pour your heart out to us and to all of our fellow fans and just let everybody know what this show and being involved in this community has felt like for you. I know a lot of you, we've gotten a few in this season, but last season we had started this and a couple of you sent us some. I can't seem to find the emails. I know I have them and I've backlogged them somewhere. If you guys are able to resend us those, that would make things a little bit easier on me. I'm sure I'll find them. I just haven't been able to in the last day or two when we started talking about this again. So I will find them. Don't worry. But if you could resend them, it would just make the process a little quicker for sure.
We are already talking about the end and we're only halfway through the season. That's crazy.
I know.
Only 5 more episodes left though. And I was realizing it's actually only 4 more Arrow episodes because one of them's going to be a crossover.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of Arrow time.
It is not. And yes, we just came off a 1-week hiatus, so it did kind of stretch it out an extra week because we were complaining like, wow, this is going way too fast. So I guess that slowed the train down just a little bit. But yeah, it's scary, Cammy. I am legitimately getting too emotional over this. Well, no, I shouldn't complain about it. I just am getting emotional over this. And yeah, I don't want the show to end. I don't think I've felt this way about a TV show ending in quite a while, one that I've been so invested in. I'm preemptively becoming quite sad about this whole process.
Well, let's not let that happen. Let's be present and in the moment and yes. Focus on this week's episode.
Yes, because I'm going to kick us off with our rating and impressions here. I really loved this episode. I'm giving it a 9 Queen Family Moments. Now, man, this was the one that we've been asking for. It was nothing over the top. It was nothing super action-packed and nothing about world saving and world domination or missile crises or anything crazy like that. All that we've been asking for is and hoping for is some time with Oliver and his kids. And that's exactly what we got this episode. It had such a wonderful feeling. wrapping this entire 42 minutes that it just felt good. And I don't care that it didn't really further the main story that much, or that there wasn't anything mind-blowing or shocking happening this episode. It was just seeing Oliver get to train Mia in every aspect of being a hero was just so awesome that it instantly warmed me up to her. As you guys know, I haven't really been fully attached to her yet. I've enjoyed her, but I've been enjoying Connor and William a lot more. This one finally brought Mia to the forefront for me, and now I'm enjoying. This is what I needed from her, was this connection to Oliver, and it really worked for me. I mean, that opening sequence with the archery training, then continuing with the fight training and arrow design lessons, that stuff just made me smile. And it's because before this time jump thing happened, we were left with the crushing reality that Oliver will never get time with Mia. She will never know him because he said goodbye to her when she was a baby in her crib. It was just such a great story of father and daughter bonding when they and us thought they'd never get to see each other again, at all after that. Add to all of that, bringing back Roy for good. We knew he was coming, and Cammy, you were just laughing at me because you knew I was going to enjoy that. But you throw on top, you could take Roy out of this episode. You could take Anatoly out of this episode, and I still would have given it a 9 because I enjoyed it that much. But adding Roy in there, and now he's going to stay permanently, it sounds like. And then you throw in Anatoly, which for some reason, I didn't even see that coming. I don't know why. It was right over my head. We're going back to Russia. We're going back to see the Bratva. Why wouldn't Anatoly be here? This episode was just all kinds of warm, giddy, nostalgic happiness, and I feel good about it.
Aww, I loved hearing every second of that. That makes me want to bring my rating up even higher. And I love that this episode was so good that your mention of Roy wasn't even till the end. That speaks volumes.
Yeah, I guess, eh?
I will say, even though I did give this episode a 7 out of 10, I started my little notes for this by saying that the premise of the episode was 9 out of 10, and several moments were 9 out of 10s for me as well. And this is one of those weeks where it's very easy for me to focus on the good and just ignore anything in the episode that I might consider not a 9 out of 10. Because I was so enraptured with the Queen family, the passing of the mantle moments, and as I'll say, avid story fans that we both are, and a lot of our listeners are as well, we know how rare it is to have such a thoroughly explored, I keep referring to this season as a denouement, a thoroughly explored denouement, a wrap-up following what otherwise could have been a finale.
Yeah, you're right.
We're getting more than just a brief flash forward or a montage at the end of a series, and that's really satisfying. I will say there were several missed opportunities in this episode for me, and a moment that felt so cheap and poorly done that it kind of single-handedly brought down the rating. Ooh. But looking back, it's very easy for me to just ignore all of that in the light of how awesome it is to see William and Mia drinking vodka in Russia with Uncle Anatoly. And of course, the return of Roy.
Are we going to talk about this part that you thought was so poorly and cheaply done? Because I'm really curious.
Yes, I didn't want to start the episode off with negativity, but okay. we'll get there. I'll see what your thoughts are on it first.
Cool. There's one specific moment in this episode that did make me kind of cringe. Just with some frustration. So we will get to it. We will get to that part. But you got some pre-show feedback from our third host, Erin, as always.
We did. And she starts her comment for this week addressing you and saying she's surprised that Mia reacted at all to Oliver. She said that you always see the moody teen approach on the CW, and she was hoping Arrow would take a different route where Mia avoids Oliver because he's nothing like her. By that, she means, yeah, he's her dad, but she didn't grow up with him, so why would she care one way or the other? She thinks that would have been unique. Instead, we see Mia showing some abandonment issues, and that was really interestingly explored. She also questions, is it fair of Mia to say Oliver picked the world over them? Sure, but it's cliche. However, she said the episode last week as a whole was just okay. She enjoyed some of the others from the season more, and she has some upsides and some downsides to having the new kids back around. She is still, it sounds, a little disappointed that baby JJ is not baby Sarah, so she has a hard time trusting the writers with villains, as she's still bitter over Siren. She goes on to kind of talk through some of the other characters and the upsides and downsides, but she wants to highlight William. She says the actor playing him is killing it and the writing is well done.
Yes.
There were a few she didn't care for as much, like the return of Echo playing Curtis. She loves that they let Echo come back, but she wasn't quite sure about the writing of Curtis himself. Overall, she feels it wasn't a bad episode, but compared to what we've gotten so far this season, she thought last week might be pretty weak. So I'm curious to see what Aaron thinks of this week.
Yeah, I'm curious. And she touches on Curtis there, and I'm kind of having a funny feeling towards him too. Having him come back for this final season, yes, it's cool because he has been around for a few years, but I just did not get the same warm feeling, like happy feeling. Oh yeah, we get to say goodbye to Curtis as well. And I'm not sure what it is. I think it's his style of humor that he brings to the show. I think I'm just tired of it, and I'm not looking forward to seeing too much of it on our show anymore. I don't know. It's really hard, but I just did not get that feeling of yay, Curtis, he's back. Oh, it just like, eh, he's there. Okay.
He was kind of funny at first last week, but he does become very one note, and they've done that with him so frequently, and it's unfortunate because the premise of the character himself is so far from being one note. He's got a lot of interesting backstory. He's got this interesting tech side to him. Yeah. He's a nuanced and unique character, and the actor who plays him has always done a wonderful job. So I do wish they would have given him a bit more complexity.
Yeah. I mean, he was, when he first came on the show, when they first introduced him as an assistant to Felicity, that's when I really liked him. But it just, he's just worn out for me. But thanks, Aaron, for all your thoughts as always.
Mm-hmm.
Are we moving into favorite moments, or did you have some more pre-show feedback?
That's all we had for pre-show feedback this week. Now it's time for you to tell us what your favorite moment was out of a 9 out of 10 episode for you.
Well, you know, we had a week off, and I feel like I need to make up for it because I have 3 favorite moments here. And I love this episode so much, and you know what? We're saying goodbye to so many characters that I think it's okay to pick a couple out here. I'm going to run 2 of them, and then I'll let you do yours because my last one kind of comes near the end, and I want to kind of run them in chronological order because it just flows with the episode so much. So the first one, this scene when Oliver is at the bar in Russia and he's arguing with William and Mia, because he wants them to leave, and this is the second time. First he had said stay back at the bar, and now he's saying, no, I want you to go home, it's unsafe, and they get into a big heated argument about it. Now this really highlights the emotions that Oliver is working through, with suddenly having his grown-up kids here with him, and they're out on a mission. And it really, I just love Stephen Amell's performance as always. This season he is really rocking it, and it's really stretching his ability and showing us what this character has done for his career. Like, just as an actor, he's really, really digging into some emotions this season. And like he's been posting on social media, he's crying almost every day on set. And we know they've just wrapped everything up and stuff. I can't imagine the amount of emotions these guys are going through. But anyway, this clip just really, really touches on that. And the fact that he's finally getting to work with these two younger actors that are playing his adult kids, their chemistry is so amazingly strong right off the bat. It just blows me away. So here's that first clip.
We need to figure out when and where the sale is happening, and then we go recover the drive.
Let me guess. Me and William get to stay at the bar, right?
You're going home, both of you.
No.
I have a feeling there's less drama out here.
Yeah.
What do you mean, no? I'm sorry, Dad, but We just saved you from being murdered by a bunch of gangsters. I'm on Team Mia here. Mia just got kidnapped by the Bratva.
So did you.
I'm your father, all right? It is my primary job in the world to protect you.
We don't need that. In the future, we're the ones that are saving the city.
Well, this isn't the future. This is months after I was heartbroken right before I left that I couldn't get you on the phone at your grandparents'. So I walked into your room to look at you one last time, and you looked back at me from your crib.
And because you made the choice to protect us, I had to spend my whole life alone. I didn't have a chance to get to know my brother, to get to know you.
I'm sorry that it worked out that way. And both of you can decide on your own how much you want to hate me and how much blame you want to assign. But I made a promise to your mother to keep you safe. And there is no world, there is no universe, there's no past, present, or future where I break it.
Fine.
Oh my God, that brings tears to my eyes just listening to the audio.
The way he emphasizes that he made a promise to their mother and there's no past, present, or future where he's going to break that promise mm-hmm. was so well done. That was a wonderful line.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could hear the quivering in his voice. Like, he is feeling this scene. There is so much emotion that he is pouring out into this. It shakes you to your core. Absolutely love mm-hmm. that. All right, we're going to move from that one to a little bit more fun scene. Now, I loved that we got Anatoly back. Anatoly, as we every time we got to talk about him, he's kind of like I don't want to say darker, but a different shade of gray. We always have Diggle giving wisdom to Oliver. Anatoly always has such good wisdom for Oliver, and he says it with such a snark, such a sarcastic, you know, edge to it. And yet it always rings so true. And Oliver just can't deny that he's pointing at something that's very right. And he, you know, he has to agree. Anyway, they had one scene in this, and I'm just so glad that they did this, because this is probably our farewell to Anatoly. I'm glad that we got one more piece of Anatoly wisdom. And here's that.
Any word from your contacts?
Yet. Well, these things take time. I don't know about you, but I could handle drink without umbrella.
I'm good, thank you.
If by good you mean, how you say, moody, then yes, you are. Is this because you ruined family vacation?
I have to send them home for their protection.
Do you not think they can handle it?
They can handle it. I want to keep them away from the Bratva.
You mean keep them away from your Bratva past?
It's a dark time for me.
That is understandable. You are ashamed. You have truly done some terrible things.
Thank you for the reminder.
But you also have done some good things. It's important that the kids see both.
Right, but why would I want to share some of the worst mistakes of my entire life with my children?
That is the thing about teaching. It's not about what you want to say. It's about what they need to hear. Remember the first thing I taught you?
Living is not for the weak.
Your children are not weak, Oliver. They're also not children. Whatever it is you have to say, they can handle it. If you do not, they will never learn to be heroes.
Ah, Anatoly. Always such good words.
He's quite the uncle in this episode, isn't he?
He is. We could talk about that in a little bit. I do love how it ends with them when they're all saying goodbye. He just always has such wise, sage words for Oliver, and you have to agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good old Anatoly. I'm going to miss him.
Mm-hmm. I think that leads into my clip, which is him transitioning from being a brother to Oliver to being an uncle to Mia and William. So we'll play it first, and then I'll talk about it.
Congratulations. Now you're my favorite American.
Hey, don't get too excited. He has a lot of favorite Americans.
Did you talk to John?
I did. He got the plutonium with an assist from Roy.
All we have to do is whip up an energy wave to destroy an all-knowing space being. Easy.
Before that, I would like to propose a toast to me and William. Couldn't have done this without you.
Vashes a dovi.
Actually, here we say prochnest.
Prochnest?
Prochnest. Means strength.
Means a lot more than that. Would you mind giving me a minute with these two, please?
Sure. Yeah, leave the bottle.
I just love that moment where you see Anatoly really starting to warm up to Oliver's kids and see Oliver and Felicity in them. And the show has had us sort of finding family in the oddest places all along. And Anatoly's relationship with Oliver has not always been that of brotherhood. They've been trying to kill each other at some points. Yep. But I love seeing that their friendship and bond is strong here at the end. And it's enough for him to essentially be, I've kind of joked about him being an uncle figure to me and William. I think this clip exemplifies that, but it also shows Arrow's pretty uncanny ability to inject warm family moments in the middle of a brutal mission.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're right. They've always been able to do that. And that's probably one of the things that has drawn us so close to the Queen family, because they can pull on these moments and it makes us feel part of that family. We, you know, we're like the fly in the wall in every scene, and it's, yeah, you're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what would a Flash favorite moment section B without a clip from Roy? We'll talk about it after I play it. Here's a Roy scene.
You think that'll be enough?
Yeah, well, it should do the trick. Roy, thanks for your help, man. It was good having you back, even if it was just for one last mission.
I think I'm going to stick around for a while. If you're going to be taking on a space god, I figure you might need all the help you can get.
Glad you changed your mind.
You know, when I first met Oliver, he gave me a purpose. But he also gave me all of you. It makes sense that having a team is what helps me in the future, so why wait? Besides, you know, I kind of miss this place.
Welcome back, Roy.
Yes, welcome back, Roy. We've missed you too.
That was such a nice moment, and I absolutely was thrilled on your behalf when it aired.
I mean, I just, he touched, it brings it all the way back to when Roy got first introduced on this show, and he was a struggling thief and whatever, and Oliver inspired him to be better, and he wanted to prove himself to Oliver, and he was the best sidekick we ever had on the show. And, you know, my feelings anyway. And it just, I love that it wraps all the way back, and Roy mentions it here. You know, Oliver gave me a perspective. He gave me a reason to move on and to live. So it's, yeah, I hope he's back. And I hope he's back for the rest of the season. We'll talk about that in a bit, because you got some discussion points to hit up first.
We do have discussion points, and we are going to start right off in Russia, but I promise we're going to make a swift turn around Star City and talk about Roy again here in a bit. So first of all, Oliver and his family make their way over to Russia on a mission, and they're not aware that they have others in their group who may be on the same mission for other purposes. Did you feel this week's episode captured and summarized the show's Russian ties and history pretty well?
Well, just as we've been doing this season so far, we get to visit each past season's locations. So Russia is just one of the many locations that have come up, even though most of Russia we had was in flashbacks and stuff like that for the one season. But the Russian season was one of the best for that. I think out of all the flashback seasons that we had, when it was always half the show was current story, half the show was flashbacks, I think Russia was probably one of the best, and definitely my favorite, just because of the story, the writing, Anatoly. There was so much there. And it just pulled in a lot of memories for me. I mean, that ring the bell sequence we saw, Oliver, he had to survive that himself. Some of the Fight Club scenes, the Bratva torture routines, Oliver went through all of that. And it just really brought back a lot of what he had to go through. And it made me realize how much we've been through with him on this show. And that's what this season is doing. It's just really bringing everything back because they're connecting to all the past seasons. It's just really hitting me hard with a lot of emotion, a lot of feels that, like, wow, through 8 seasons, we've been through a lot with these characters.
Mm-hmm. It's been a nice blend of bringing back history of the show and also setting up and creating new content. Yeah. And we have the callbacks to some of those history moments. You know, Oliver's kids find out he was a Bratva captain with terrible hair, and we remember those moments as well. Yes. But I also loved the new moments, right, where Oliver learns about them, more about William's brilliance and Mia's fight training.
Yeah, it was... For me, it was just so nice to witness him getting to see how his kids have turned out and what they're capable of. And by going on a mission together, he gets to witness all of that and being a family team. And the way this show did it, it wasn't cheesy in any way. It was just hardcore and heartfelt and just wonderful to watch and get to be part of. And I hope we get more. I hope things don't change drastically and, you know, something happens in the timeline and all that kind of stuff. I hope this goes right through to the end of the season, is these moments. We'll see what happens coming up. But it was also one of my favorite family moments when they're all at the bar and he opens up to them saying that they can ask anything that they want, you know, because they're still a little bit upset about them. And this comes after Anatoly just gave him his wisdom. He says, all right, well, ask me whatever you want. And the first question that comes out is, tell us about Lee and you. What's that island? Mm-hmm. And the music just peters off and their voices just peter off. And you could tell that they probably stayed there all night talking and asking their dad questions, things that they did not have a chance to learn about him and what he's been through. It gives them a chance to understand him. I know William experienced a lot of it, but Mia knows nothing. So it's especially for him because she never knew him. And it was such a heart-tugging scene, that just that little moment. Now, if you want to say anything, I'm going to bring in my nitpick here, but if you want to respond to what I just said, I'll let you do that first.
No, dive right into the nitpick.
Because the only thing with Mia, this is what I had touched on in my opening monologue, that the one little thing that bugged me with Mia was during that ring the bell sequence that I just mentioned. And I watched that sequence a couple times and I added it up. She actually wasted 9 seconds when 3 times she stops to watch the clock tick down, and each time she stopped to watch it, it ticked away 2.5 to 3 seconds. She actually could have made it easily, especially the last time. She had already knocked all of the guys out. She looks up at the clock. She's a couple steps from – or the clock. She looks up at the clock. She's a couple steps away from the bell. It's at 4 seconds, and she watches it tick down before she even gets up and moves, and I'm just screaming at the TV, what are you doing? Easily she could have made it. Why did she keep staring at the clock and watching it tick a few more seconds before she gets up and moves again? 3 times she did that. Oh, man, I was yelling at the TV. Seriously.
Yeah, it's such a hard thing to juggle. Pacing of fight sequences, especially a timed fight sequence. And that moment where she's in a timed fight sequence reminded me of the TV show 24, where you have things timed quite frequently, fictional moments, usually fights, and there's a clock ticking right there on the screen. And that becomes quite difficult because most of the time, even in what is otherwise a real-time scene, fighting or even just dialogue, the timing does not directly mirror reality. So when you actually have a real timer there and you have to have a fight sequence match it and you can't really cut anything, it has to directly align to the clock. Some of those moments where they have to build cinematic tension where you otherwise would not do that in real life go against the reality you're trying to build into it by having a real clock there. that, I think, is what they ran into with that scene. It wasn't really Mia. It was the fight pacing. Unfortunately, I don't think she choreographs her own fights.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree that it's frustrating because we have this easy to overlook issue of moments are spliced out, even in just conversation, to where what was a 10-minute conversation, we see it as 3 to 5, right? In a fight sequence, what would be potentially a 5-minute fight, it's usually spliced and sped up, and we're so used to the fast pace of fights on Arrow when they have this slower version and there's a timer, and it just kind of gets under our skin.
It just bothered me because, like I said, 3 times, she takes 2 guys down, she rolls up, lands on her knees, looks at the clock, it ticks down 3 seconds, then she goes and makes her next move. I mean, all she had to do was just glance at it, oh crap, 6 seconds to go, and keep fighting, not watch it tick away a couple seconds. That's what the annoying part was. Anyway, that was it. That was just my nitpick. The episode was so good, I don't really care about it, but I just wanted to mention it. And the other thing I want to throw in here is, again, and we're saying this from week to week that he's on this show, I'm really, really enjoying the actor that's playing William. There's something about how he is performing the role. You can see the transition from the young William actor that we had to this now adult William actor. He really picked up on the nuances that the younger actor kind of started. And you could see him have this. This is exactly how he would have grown up. It makes sense. And I really like this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's done a great job. The casting of all of them is pretty good. They look so eerily like Oliver and Felicity.
That's true. Yeah, a combo of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of the temporary integration of Anatoly this season? Do you feel they successfully brought him back in and wrapped it up well? I know when we had Thea come in, we were thrilled to see her, but it did feel pretty quick that she suddenly arrived, she had her little moment, and then we had to say goodbye to her all over again. Did Anatoly's arrival and departure feel the same?
No, and that was the nicest surprise for me this episode. As I said, I didn't piece it together that he's going to be in this episode. I love the story with Anatoly and them being brothers and how much they went through together in all of the Arrow's history. And I was disappointed with where things went during that season with Diaz and how they left it off with Anatoly and how they were in a bit of a, you know, I think that's when Anatoly mentioned, do you want me to punch you again? Because he punched him at the airport or something when he saw him. That was the last time we saw him. And I was really disappointed with what they did with the Anatoly character that season, because he just seemed like a wimp. Not a wimp. He just seemed to be bending over to Diaz and scared of him. And I didn't like that. It didn't suit what we already knew about him. And there's way too much history with Oliver and Anatoly to end it like that. So to bring him back and give him an entire episode to honor that history was such a nice touch. And it pays due credit to their relationship and how well that even these two actors work together on screen. They have such a good brotherly chemistry on screen. I really, really liked that they did that. And I really like that Oliver and him rekindle that brother bond at the end of the episode as well. It also saddens me even more, though, because we're having to say goodbye to yet another wonderful character. Loved it, but it made me sad.
Yeah, it's always sad to see these characters go, but I think Anatoly, they did a particularly good job of the reintegration and the goodbye and not making it feel like a goodbye forever. And you never know, he could pop up on any number of other crossovers or other locations. Arrow villains seem to never die. Arrow antiheroes definitely never die. So
yeah, that's true.
We'll see. Speaking of, what iconic Arrow location or iconic Arrow teacher for Oliver would you like them to visit next?
I think you're asking me this almost every episode, and I keep trying to think, what other answers can I give to you? And I can't. I keep coming back to, it's not so much of a location, it's more of history. We just got a wonderful history with Anatoly. The next history we need to bring back is the whole Slade story. That comes, I think, in as the top learning segment for Oliver. Like, just everything that Oliver went through, if it wasn't for Slade, he never would have survived that island. And I think that's the kicking off point for Oliver's career and the way his life has gone from that point forward. He owes it to Slade. And there's also, use the word tumultuous. Well, exact same thing here. They loved each other. They hate each other. They loved each other again. It's been up and down. And I think they have to bring that back one more time to let us get to say goodbye to the deepest story and the deepest relationship that I think we've ever had on the show. And that's between Oliver and Slade. They have to bring that back. I don't know if they're keeping it secret. I haven't heard any news about it. I really don't want to know. I don't want to have all of a sudden a massive splash of spoilers like next week. Hey, Slade's return. I would love to be surprised by it and have him come back in some fashion. They have to. Look what they've done these first five episodes. They've touched on every season of Arrow. They've brought back so many returning characters that had some type of importance on the show and on Oliver's growth, that if they don't do it with Slade, they're gonna sorely miss out on a massive opportunity to close the show out properly.
Well, we can all just keep Mr. Flash in the dark and not let him know what's going to happen. I'm kidding. I really have no idea.
Oh, good.
But I'm right there with you on hoping that Slade returns. But in the interest of avoiding spoilers, I'm going to move very quickly into Star City. Okay. Into a car repair shop, not quite in Star City, where Diggle finds Roy and proceeds to pull him back into the world of Team Arrow. Now, you already touched on this a bit, but tell me more. What did you think of the way they had Roy return?
It was good. I mean, it answers some questions because we didn't know what happened to him. You know, obviously, we're all asking, where's Roy when Thea returned? And we didn't get any much answers about him, but they answered it here. You know, he can't control his bloodlust, and he didn't want to endanger Thea. He needed to break away from everybody and start a new life and reset himself and see if that could be his cure. And it made sense. It's sad, but it made sense. And I just seeing him roll out from underneath that car and seeing his face on screen again, I was so happy. Roy's always been my favorite. You guys know that. And I just could have jumped into the TV screen and given him a hug myself, because I was just seeing him again was so great. And then it was also hard because when Diggle's there to see him, he's not happy. And you could see that he's still really struggling with his bloodlust and everything. And it was hard to see that for Roy because he's been such a good character on the show. And I just loved how that evolved through this episode. Diggle helping him and, you know, pulling on his knowledge of the future to show Roy that, hey, this is what you need. I'm here for you, man. You have been one of us since from the very beginning. You are part of Team Arrow. I'm not going to let you down. I'm here to support you, buddy. And I loved that Diggle was there for him and helped bring him around.
I was kind of torn about this idea that Roy and Thea don't show up on the same episode. Mm. At first, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get to see them still together. And then I was kind of happy that they went about it this way for two reasons. One is it gave each of them a moment to have their own story. It wasn't just about the adventures they went on together. But two is because they do have very different ends to their episode. Thea says goodbye and she goes off to become one of the most powerful people in this universe. And Roy sticks around and he needs a little more healing. And sounds like you agree, he'll probably be around for the rest of the season. Granted, that's only a few more episodes.
It does sound like it. I mean, I definitely hope so. He does say he's staying to help them out. And he agrees with Diggle that being with the team might help him calm down and get some control over those bloodlusts. So I hope he's here for the last five episodes. I want to see him battling in the crisis event. I want to see him be there for Oliver in the end and being able to say goodbye. We need some Oliver and Roy scenes because we haven't had that for a while either. So, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like the talk with Diggle in particular seemed to reinforce this idea that even outside of Roy, we may be able to change the future. And they've certainly hinted at that before. There's been pieces where we've surmised outside of the show that the future has to have changed because it no longer matches. Do you expect that to be the direction we're on clearly now, or do you think some of the characters' futures will still stay the same?
Yeah, well, I mean, first that that talk. I loved that talk with him and Diggle. Diggle knew from the future that the team is what saves Roy, which is what I was just touching on. So he's trying to set it up now so that Roy doesn't have to suffer all those years into the future. I mean, good old Diggle. This made me feel so good, this episode. And I also loved when they were stealing the plutonium and Diggle stepped in to stop Roy from beating that guard, saying, "Roy, you're okay. You're all right." And Roy, you could see Roy immediately start to calm down and see what Diggle's doing. And that's just what Roy needs, is support to get through this from the closest people in his life. And I loved every second of that. Now, for the future, what you're asking about, I would say the future is changeable. There's already too many things that have been changed, or even just knowing about the future allows change to happen. I mean, that future we saw was pretty bleak. So maybe now, because there's so many things that they're changing 20 years earlier, maybe the future won't be like that. It won't be so dark and so bleak. We might have a different future to look forward to.
I like the idea of the future being changed, not just because it'll be more hopeful, but because it is then more interesting. Remember, I think we had maybe a season ago or two seasons ago, a talk about my concern with Gotham and how at the end of the day, it's a show that is exposition leading up to a known end. I was afraid that Arrow was kind of going to become that, in that we see 2040 and everything leading up to it is just exposition leading up to a known end. Because the future can change, we kind of get around that here. Yeah. It can become more hopeful. It could also become worse, but at least we'll have something interesting to see, something that we don't already know. And this will be relevant to your interests, but because Roy has already appeared in 2040 and assists the team there, even if the future does change, it seems possible he could be part of the spinoff.
Yeah, and that depends on the actor, I guess, and it depends on the showrunners if they want him to be part of it. If Colton Haynes himself wants to keep on going with this show and this character. I mean, from everything that I've ever read in social media and online, everybody on the show loves Colton Haynes. They, behind the scenes, they all adore him as a human being. So it would be great to keep him around and helping Oliver's kids take the mantle. Maybe he could be some type of mentor or some type of leader. I mean, we're going to have Dinah and we're going to have Laurel, so why not have Roy in there as well? I don't know why I have a feeling that he won't be. I'm not sure. I don't know what's given me that feeling. I don't think they're going to continue his character in a full-time capacity anyway.
Well, you did mention Dinah and Laurel, so we can transition to that and just cross our fingers for Roy in the spinoff. Let's talk about our villains or our anti-heroes, or we're not really sure who the villains are right now. It seems like the Monitor is still pulling the strings, and he's also trying to get more on his side. We see Siren presented the offer to potentially save her world by joining him. So what kind of time control do you think he has, if that's even a possibility?
I hadn't even thought of that. Can the Monitor manipulate time? He's able to move people around, like transporter, like Star Trek transporter, like, but I don't know if he's, well, I guess he can, because he brought the kids back in time. So, but can he can travel through time or help people travel through time, but can he actually manipulate time? I don't know. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a crazy question. Yeah.
It has to involve some kind of all-time power in order for the past to also be saved. Just something to consider. But
yeah, we might have to dive in that a little deeper. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah. Here's the big question. What did you think of the reveal of Lila's activities to Oliver and Diggle?
This is what I want to say. Too bad, so sad for her. Because that's what you get on this show as a character. Haven't we learned after 8 seasons that lying to your loved ones and your team never gets the desired outcome? So I'm glad that this happened to her. We don't have enough episodes in this season for it to stretch out to have this melodramatic diggle in her, whoa, 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 marriage problems, whatever. I'm glad they're working through these team issues super fast and hitting them on the nose right away. Way to go, Laurel, for setting that up. I don't think it's even going to last a second reveal and be wrapped up in this one episode. I think we might see the fallout of it. It may spill over into this next episode that she reveals who she really is. We don't have the time to stretch it out. So it's going to happen fast, and I'm glad it did with this part of it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I think it'll be resolved quickly. And one thing I do appreciate about the shortened season is that inter-team fights or inter-family fights that would normally go on for several episodes are now quickly resolved.
Yeah.
I would like to see them quickly forgive her and help her, because I think in past seasons we've seen Renee do similar things. I can use pretty easily as an example, but pretty much all of them. I know Renee, Dinah, and Curtis, we know we're all pretty similar examples of partnering with questionable people or hiding things from the team. Diggle did the same actually as well with the drugs, hiding big critical things that put other people's lives in danger, and the team quickly comes around and sort of forgives them. With the exception of Dinah, I think they were a little hard on her, but with the others, they were pretty quick to forgive, understand, or someone like Thea or Felicity would talk them down to forgiving and understanding. And I'm hoping the same happens with Lila, because her justification for this, her reasoning is so clear, and we already knew her to be a morally ambiguous character. It's one of the things we like about her. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I hated the reveal.
Oh, is this the part?
It was.
This is the cheap.
Okay. Yes, I thought it was so cheaply done. I thought it was terribly done. I think this is one in a long line of scenes that are a disservice to every character Laurel has ever played. She went from this interesting, snarky, nearly villain, somewhat anti-hero, at least keep us on our toes wondering, to a snark who outed Lila to Oliver and Diggle just like that with a smile on her face. That was so unfortunate. It enraged me.
Huh.
The level of disrespect they've shown to, listen, Siren's never been my favorite character one way or the other, really, but they had really been building this cool rapport of her being kind of badass and cool, and to have her just out Lila like that, rather than trying to talk to her, rather than trying to show some sort of, we're both kind of female anti-heroes and have some sort of solidarity. They had such a cool opportunity to have them bond over that and for her to pull Lila into this. Oh, I hated that so much.
That's interesting. And I just said, way to go, Laurel. It's interesting your take on that, because I guess the way I looked at it is that Laurel is just, she's still struggling with all the emotions of losing her Earth and everybody on it. And when she finds out that Lila is actually part of that, and, you know, maybe Laurel's blaming her a little bit for allowing that to happen. So this is just her way of like, well, you were part of that, so I'm not going to let you run around hiding in the shadows. You're gonna answer to that right now, because, you know, and that goes along with her new found, like she even said in this episode, she goes, I'm new to this whole trying to do the right thing. And so I think she's trying to figure her way through that. And maybe she figures this is the right thing. Like, you owe your husband, your entire life together is now a lie because he never knew this about you at all. So maybe that's just her trying to make something right. I don't know.
A character who has done bad, as a character who's repeatedly done bad, who has been an overt villain, she of all people should know that that's not how you pull people to the good side. And that's not how anybody pulled her to the good side. in every iteration of her where she's been mean or irrational or any kind of villainous or blaming Oliver for something that he had nothing to do, whatever, everyone around her has been hand-holding her and trying to get her to be good. And every iteration of Laurel has gone through the same thing as well, where you have people near death trying to get her to be good. And for her to just turn self-righteous like that and be so kind of cruel to someone who's clearly been torn up over this decision and feels this is the only way to go, that was not a good way to make Laurel good. I would rather her be a villain at that point.
Yeah, you got some good points there. I think for me, it's really, again, because we're on such a shortened season, I don't want to see this dragged out. So if this is the way they had to write to make things happen, then I'll be okay with it. I want to see how Diggle reacts. How does Diggle take this to find out that his wife has been an assistant to the monitor the whole time? Mm-hmm. And we still don't know how much of the comic storyline they are actually drawing on. If she's going to full on be his assistant for all of her life. If that's the case, then yeah, she has been lying her entire time in relationship with Diggle. So I'll be interesting to see. I want to see where they go with it and how Diggle does react to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how this impacts Diggle and Lila's future as well. They supposedly stay together and raise their sons together. Is that part of the future going to change as well?
Yeah, good question. I mean, maybe once the mission is done, the crisis is averted, maybe the monitor says that she can stay with him and, you know, live her life. I mean, the monitor does seem to care about people. So, yeah, is that part of the future changed? I don't know. You would think it's not, or maybe changed in the way that they now know what they have to do to raise Connor and JJ properly so that JJ doesn't turn bad. So there is some things that are going to change. So you would think that this changes them. I mean, we don't know. Maybe Diggle can't forgive her and she decides to go off with a monitor. Who knows what's going to happen here? Of course, we want the happy ending for those two. My question is, what is she doing at the end of that? Because we see three tranquilizer darts come out of nowhere and mm-hmm. knock them out. Well, it's like she was prepared for them to show up. She seemed to look shocked that they're there, but yet she was somehow prepared. Where did those darts come from? Was it Argus agents? Was it monitors assistants? Like, I have no idea what just happened there. What's her initial end game here? Why is she knocking these three out? Is she just fulfilling monitor's mission that he gave to Laurel? Like, what's happening?
It's kind of another example of potentially the monitor or the monitor's team being all time.
Okay.
Like all powerful in terms of time, existing in all time. There's no way to surprise him. It's similar to the concept they had on The Flash, this idea of being all time. He would occasionally have to fight villains who could travel past, present, and future. I think that's what they're trying to insinuate the monitor can do without spelling it out, because it's Arrow and they're not necessarily focused as much on this time travel aspect. But I think they're trying to insinuate you can't really catch the monitor off guard because he is all time.
Yeah, you would expect that. So what do you think, who shot those darts then? Where do you think those came from?
The monitor, the monitor's team.
Yeah.
Lila has tapped into power bigger than herself.
Okay.
That's my guess, at least.
Cool. Yeah, I wonder if we'll even find out. I mean, because Oliver and Diggle, Oliver doesn't walk into an area without assessing it. It's surprising that he would get caught off guard like that.
And not yeah, it is. It is. Well, I would love to hear what theories our listeners have as well.
Definitely. Let's get into that. All right, let's kick it off with an email from Christy. What does she say?
She says she loves the montage in the beginning of Oliver training Mia and her using the arrows in the actual fight. She goes on to say Oliver's continued insistence on keeping William and Mia safe seemed a little hollow considering he's the one who brought them to Russia, home of the Bratva, and a history of pain and suffering for him. I've noticed that every Arrow episode has some form of interpersonal conflict, whether it makes sense or not, and I guess this was it for this episode. Sometimes the conflict seems to contradict lessons that have already been learned, so I was glad to see that he trusted them in the end and was willing to disclose his past in Russia. I thought Oliver and Anatoly had the best scenes in this episode, particularly the one at the end where he says they're past the point of keeping score. Their friendship is one of my favorite parts of the series. I'm so glad we got some good character development with Mia. We could finally move past the grouchiness and discover what's behind the facade. I didn't expect the reason to be that she doesn't feel as if she's living up to her dad's legacy, but I found that really endearing. Also, it gave us more fantastic father-daughter scenes, and I just really like the relationship they're developing between the two of them. I really thought Laurel was going to turn the device over to Lila at the end. Instead, we saw her turning Lila over to Diggle and Oliver. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever seen someone nip betrayal in the bud so quickly on this show or any other superhero show. Normally, this would have been dragged out over 10 episodes at least. If the Monitor is the one who shot them with darts, then I'm still confused as to what exactly he's doing with our team. His actions seem pretty haphazard to me. It's great to have Roy back, although I did find his scenes with Diggle to be oddly disconnected from the rest of the episode. Overall, another really strong episode that has me wishing they had combined future and present Arrow earlier in the series. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
I wish they had had the chance to be together all season.
Yeah. Yeah, and not just for 10 episode season.
Get it a little bit earlier on because, like I said, the chemistry with these actors, it's fantastic. You think they have been together for 4 or 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Christy. I really like her thoughts on tonight's episode.
Yep.
Or this week's episode, I should say.
Yep, she's right with us on a lot of her thoughts, so I just totally mimic and agree with everything that she said. Next up is a voicemail from Destiny Dazzler.
Hi, Arrow Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. I just got done watching the episode. I absolutely loved it. I loved seeing Oliver train Mia. I thought that was super awesome. I love seeing them fight together. I loved seeing Anatoly again. That was really awesome. And the fact that Roy's back is super cool. I'm glad that Black Siren didn't end up betraying Oliver. I was really worried there for a second, but I'm so glad she didn't end up doing it. And I'm interested to see, like, how Lila got to where she is, that she's working for the Monitor, and what he has over her to keep her, or what he promised her to keep her working for him. That's going to be really interesting. I really love this episode. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Awesome, Dazzler. I'm so glad you enjoyed it as much as we did.
I'm glad she enjoyed it too, and I'm also making my peace, Flash, with the fact that I may be one of the only ones who was rooting for Siren to betray them or to side at least a little bit with Lila. I may be alone in my corner there.
Well, they have to transition her fully to being a hero because she's going to be one of the canaries on the new show, right? So you're just gonna
yes,
have
but
to
that's
it.
20 years in the future. That's plenty of time to become more heroic. For now, she doesn't have to be quite this self-righteous.
You mean it's plenty of time for her to swing to the bad side a couple more times, right?
Yeah, once or twice.
All right, next up is an email from Comic Geek Kev, and he says, "Hey, Arrow Squad, another great episode. I'm so sad to see this show go away. The training montage was great. I think we all expected something like it to happen once the kids showed up in the prison, and it didn't disappoint. I loved how Oliver explained things to her, when it would have been so much easier for the writers to just show the images with some music underneath, but maybe that's too 80s for Arrow. So great to see Roy again. It wouldn't have been right to finish out the season or show without him coming back. John giving him a chance to atone when someone else could have helped him was great to see. And clarification of why Roy was self exiled, although pretty much assumed, I don't think has been said out loud yet. Or maybe I just missed it. If he's hanging around, I hope he's used in crisis. Also, nice to see Anatoly again, although him referring to Laurel specifically as a snow leopard seemed a bit on the nose in Russia. Just saying. Continuing the tradition of incredible fight scenes with Mia and the Bell and the bloodbath, Catherine McNamara does a great job making it believable in the parts that are her and not the stunt double. This show stunt doubles should get a golden ticket in Hollywood after this. Maybe send them some other CW shows along with the choreographers. I know exactly what you're getting at there, Supergirl, and your awful fight scenes. And I'm not a fan of all the subterfuge surrounding the monitor and what he's doing with Lila and Laurel. I'm guessing it's to get to the eventual reveal of the anti-monitor either right before or during the crisis crossover. The whole you must betray Oliver to save your universe and Lila's I'm doing this for them is pretty much a trope for these kinds of situations. But I can let it go for the sake of enjoying the story. Harbinger isn't a villain, so whatever she is doing for the greater good, but to continue to make her seem like a bad guy. I guess it makes more sense if you haven't read the comics. Yeah, valid. Actually, valid points. Another great performance by Amell, especially the scene with him being confronted by Mia about leaving them. His voice breaking was getting to me. Has he always been this good and just not had much of a chance to show it in the earlier seasons? Because he's killing it this last two seasons. It's exactly what I'm talking about, Kev. Yes. William is quickly becoming one of my favorites. I'm assuming he's making it to the new show, which I understand is definitely set in the future. Can Laurel just be redeemed in full? The whole I'm no hero thing is getting a bit stale. She doesn't have to turn into Earth One Laurel, but at some point just accept you're one of the good guys. Sorry for going on so long, I could no longer, but I'm running out of characters. Until next week, I give this episode a 9 out of 10, apparent good guys gone bad while villains choose the good guy tropes. Comic geek Kev. Yes, I agree with you so much on everything you just said, Kevin. You were right in line with me, so I'm glad we are totally geeking out on this episode. We even gave the same rating, so way to go.
And he had such a good rating label, too.
Yes, yes. All right, last one is... Oh, no, we got two more. Email from Dad L. What does Dad L say?
He says, "Hello, Arrow Squad. Once I saw the opening father-daughter montage, I knew I would enjoy this episode. I loved the moment when Mia was watching Oliver Cage fight and she just said, 'Wow.' So much is conveyed in this single word. Mia seems to have a lot of fighting and experience, and for her to be impressed shows how awesome Oliver really is. It was a nice moment of a daughter admiring her father. And what a great send-off for Anatoly. He's been such an important supporting character, and they handled this final episode with him so well. And how about that cliffhanger ending? Lila's revealed to be aiding the monitor. Maybe she'll be able to explain more to the team, especially in regards to the anti-monitor, who will be revealed as the true villain. I give this episode 9 pinned tennis balls." Another great rating. From Dad L, last father of Krypton.
Awesome thoughts, Dad L. Yes, pinned tennis ball. That was a fun scene. That was part of the opening training sequence that was just so well done. They didn't rush through it. They gave just enough time to have him train her in various aspects and also just showing her the arrows because she didn't even know what all these trick arrows were about. That was just a fun scene.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, we've got one last one from Kate that she sent to you, Cammie. I'll let you finish it off.
I would be honored. Kate writes in to say, "I thought this episode was pretty good. There were some weak spots, but there were plenty of strong moments to really carry the episode. 8 out of 10. For the most part, I enjoyed everything except Laurel's storyline. I think they handled it very poorly, and to me it was very obvious that she wasn't going to betray Oliver because of how her recent redemption story went. Of course, this version of Oliver would have betrayed him in the past, but now that she is, quote, a hero, she does the right thing. The problem with doing this, however, is she felt like she was in Russia for no reason. The only explanation for her to be there is to sabotage the mission and to talk with Mia to support the spinoff. Essentially, her entire storyline was unnecessary in the scope of the episode, which only served to vilify Lila. This virtue signaling of Laurel says that Lila is the villain and that she is the one doing something wrong. We don't know what Lila's doing with the monitor, and we don't know what the monitor's intentions truly are. So that entire storyline was off-putting. Mm. Pause. Thank you, Kate. I will continue reading this, but someone agree. It's us two in the corner at this point.
It's you two against the many in the Fight Club, Cage.
Yes, that is correct. It's you and me, 45 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
She goes on to say, quick sidebar, wouldn't it be cool if Lila's teaming up with the monitor to bring back baby Sarah? It is a stretch, but honestly, anything can happen this season. That would be really cool. She said, I did like the rest of the episode, though. We had Roy make his return, which is actually some of my favorite stuff he's done in years. He's stubborn about rejoining the team because he's worried about his bloodlust, which is a legitimate concern, and I completely understand why he was hesitant at first. He's killed people because of it, and he doesn't want to face that temptation again. But when Diggle tells him that joining the team might be his best chance at learning to control it, supported by the information from the future, Roy decides his best move would be to return to the team. I also loved Mia in this episode. The whole training scene was one of my favorite parts this season, and it was a big wish list item of mine. And I loved whenever she was watching her dad do something Green Arrow related, she was in awe, and it was just adorable. But I thought it was great to see some vulnerability from her. She's really struggling with losing Zoe, so she's questioning her skills. While she's impressed by her father, a part of her seems to feel inadequate next to him. She wasn't able to save Zoe, she couldn't ring the bell, and when Oliver tries to shield her from the fights, she thinks it's because he doesn't think she's good enough to protect herself. So when Oliver explains, and in parentheses, weeps, that he still sees his little girl, she begins to understand that he is protecting her because he loves her, not because he thinks she's not good enough. It highlighted that even though she's a great fighter, she has things to learn from her father and from life. And Oliver's story was my favorite part. He's having to come to terms with the fact that his mistakes early on in life are what made him into a hero, and by hiding those mistakes from his kids, they can never fully understand what made him into the hero he is and why he wants to shield them from making the same mistakes. Sure, he skinned a guy one time, but now he's preparing to sacrifice himself to save everyone else in the universe. That is what I call progress, buddy. I also love how his huge realization was condensed into two scenes. First, he tells his kids that he still sees them as his babies, and he promised Felicity that he would protect them. That was a little rewriting of history. Felicity was actually the one who promised to protect the kids, but I can easily forgive this flub because of how effective the line was. Interesting observation, that's true. Then he opens up and tells the kids that he's been so overbearing because he was ashamed of his history with Russia. By telling them they can ask anything they want, he's showing them that he is just as much of a flawed person. He's not perfect, and he doesn't want them to believe that he is. I can't wait to see what happens next week.
Oh,
from Kate.
What a fantastic email, Kate. I absolutely really, really loved and appreciated how you put your thoughts together in an email for us. And I especially love your paragraph about talking about Mia. And something I had meant to touch on is when she was watching Oliver perform, whether it was in the fight cage or doing something Arrow related, like dislocating his thumb so he could get out, she was constantly being impressed by him and just, like you said, in awe of her dad. And that's what she needed. She needed something like that to connect her to him and make her realize, like, wow, this is my dad. And I love that you touched on that and highlighted that. There's everything. It's just fantastic email. What a great one to finish up on, Cammie.
Well said. Well, next week's episode is entitled Reset. And I don't know about you, Flash, but that has me nervous about the timeline.
Yeah, because... Well, let's touch on something, because I do want to shout out to Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11. He's been posting on our Facebook page for us every single week the comment section for the episodes. People can like Facebook post about the episode as we're going, so totally appreciate that, Jeff. And then he also posted an article, something about the kids are returning to the future. And I didn't read it yet or whatever, but that kind of touches on what we've been talking about, if something is going to change. So is that what this reset episode means? Does that mean everything's going to be reset and all the timelines and everybody in the timelines are going to go back to their various, you know, respective places along it? I don't know, Cammy. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm worried.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're curious about that, you can go check out that article. It has to do with the spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for the fantastic feedback. As always, we are now halfway through this closing season of Arrow. Crisis is just around the corner. I'm getting excited. I'm excited for everything. But, yeah, I don't want it to end, Cammy. I get speechless. Arrow's ending, but I love it so much. It's such a good season so far. That's all I got. This is Flash signing off for this week.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media. You can find all our contact info, links, and feedback form at arrowsquad.com. We'd also love to have you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for other great discussions about your favorite TV shows, check out our partner podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com. As always, please share the show, and thanks for listening.